Hello, this is episode 324, and in it, I'm continuing my conversation with Michael about their new home project in Western Australia. This is a home that Michael and his partner are building to retire to in a beautiful location on an acreage site. Now, if you haven't listened to the first part of my conversation with Michael, you can find part one in episode 323. So head back to undercoverarchitect.com/323 and you can listen now or grab the full transcript of that episode. It's a really great introduction to Michael's project, including the design process for their new home. You can hear all about that there. In this episode, Michael goes into more detail about how he weighed up volume builders versus custom builders so that he could review the best solution for constructing their new home and make an informed choice about who he was going to work with. And in investigating these different types of builders, he also did a really good job of drilling into the detail of his project so that he could compare apples with apples when reviewing their costing information as well. Michael shares more about all of that with us in this episode. And if you've been assuming that a volume builder is going to be a cheaper way to build, or you're trying to weigh up volume builder versus custom builder for yourself, you're definitely going to want to hear about how that research has gone for Michael so that he could make a confident decision. Now, remember, if you'd like to grab a full transcript of this episode, you can find it plus other helpful links that I've shared there at undercoverarchitect.com/324. That's the numbers 324. Now, let's dive in. I begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of country throughout Australia, and I recognise the continuing connection to lands, waters, skies, and communities. I pay my respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures and to elders both past and present. If we haven't met before, I'm Amelia Lee, the architect behind Undercover Architect. Based in northern New South Wales, Australia, I'm a wife, mum and architect, and I've been working in the architectural industry since 1993. I founded Undercover Architect in mid-2014, and since then it has operated online to help and teach homeowners like you how to get it right when designing, building or renovating your home. Undercover Architect supports hundreds of thousands of homeowners across the world through their project journeys via this podcast, the website, and our online courses and programs, including my flagship online program, Home Method. Consider Undercover Architect your secret ally. Whoever you're working with and whatever your dreams, your location, or your budget, it's here to support and guide you on this ambitious journey of yours. Grab access to my free online workshop, Your Project Plan, and learn super helpful information to save time, money, and stress in your reno or new build. You can find it at www.undercoverarchitect.com/projectplan. That's projectplan. Now, let's get into the episode. Before we jump in, here's a reminder regarding the timing of Michael's project and my conversation with him. So Michael joined Home Method in April of 2021. We recorded this conversation in March of 2024 and site works began on Michael's project a couple of months prior in January of 2024, and the home is due for completion in 2025. We kick off our conversation by me asking Michael to explain more about how he dug into the details to be able to weigh up volume builder versus custom builder in his builder selection for his project. Let's jump into my conversation with Michael now.
I'd love to dig into that a bit more, because that was something that was really interesting to watch. Was whilst you didn't do the pack process, you still sought a lot of costing information from local resources along the way to ensure that the design decisions that you were making and the selections that you were making were going to work from a budget and a performance point of view. And you sort of balancing that, and then also obviously always testing and understanding what was going to be available locally or not going to cause you problems in terms of its supply. And that conversation that you are having from a balanced point of view of speaking to the custom builders, speaking to the volume builders, comparing the trying to get to a place where you could compare apples with apples, which can be really difficult in that process, and then also getting the quantity surveying information as well. Can you talk us through that whole kind of comparing the volume builder to the custom builder, what you learned through that process, how you kind of navigated those conversations, how you felt like you were providing them with information that was going to get you real feedback? Like how did you go about that to then make the call that you needed to for your project about who was going to build it?
Well, I guess so the quantity surveyor is a local quantity surveyor, and he was recommended to us by the custom builder who we ended up using. And he'd actually just had he'd just done a renovation with that builder, so he understood exactly the price points that he worked at, the quality that he worked at. So that was already built into the pricing. We also had, I remember, I think it was 23% added for escalation in prices for I think it was going to be a December 2023 start. You know, like it was, all of these things were built in, and then you put margin on top, and then you put GST on top. When you add all these things in, it blows out. The actual square meter price didn't seem that far off where we were thinking we would be with the house. But when you add all that on, and you add the workshop in, I think, you know, initially when we started, I thought, wow, the workshop will be, we can go and get a kit shed for 20 grand and put a slab down and put it up, you know, it's $35,000 or something. And I remember the builder saying, I can, you know, he's talking about moisture and, you know, different things. And he said, you're probably better off building a timber one. I can build you a timber one for 60 grand. And then I think that basically doubled in 12 months, that sort of costing. So we had all those conversations. The interesting thing was with the quote in the, when we then got the quotes from the two volume builders, that earthworks and different things, there wasn't a lot of difference. And there wasn't a lot of massive difference in the workshop. Most of the difference, I think, came is the way they assessed the house. And that's where it's trying to drill down. Now, where's a lot of that difference? Because you looked at the glazing, and the glazing wasn't very different, because all of those things, they were, you know, they're putting like for like. And it's all those other areas, you know, like just build quality, time on site, finishes and that sort of thing, where that's the really hard bit to measure. But at the point, you know, it was a significant amount of money difference. So the, you know, I remember going and meeting the custom builder who we're building with, and, you know, just after we had that quantity surveying and we talked about budget, and he said, well, are you the right builder for me? You know, like, or am I the right builder for you effectively? Because it's going to be what it's going to be, because that's the way I build, and I build to quality. And yeah, it's really interesting, because with the volume builders, they use a lot of contractors and you have no control. And that was the thing, having that conversation with the volume builders, is about, you know, we want to have the right wall wraps, and, you know, like, so we want to breathe, you know, class 4 breathing membrane. I'm keen to build to NCC 2022 standards. And it took me quite a while to get my head around roof structure and how to manage that. But we certainly, you know, we got that built into our specifications in design through selections and that sort of thing. But yeah, it was just an evolving process. And it was interesting to see, I think, the last quote I had with the volume builder, and, you know, the gap had narrowed considerably. I think it was a couple hundred grand more. And you could see, as we drilled down on selections and that sort of thing, you could see they were bringing their price up. And initially they were going to do a fixed price. And as we moved down on it, we'll only do a, you know, we'll only do a cost plus towards the end. And then we just sort of parted ways, probably September last year, I guess. It was like, they said, we can't meet your timelines. And I think some of that was, they're thinking, this is, you know, this is going to be too hard for us to meet, you know, meet our requirements. I think that's where it came from. So I don't know whether I've asked your question, but yeah, that's part of that process. It was an interesting process. When we got the quotes, I made it quite clear that this is our design, and we want you to quote on our design, and this, and I made it quite clear that we want to protect that design. We don't want, you know, the volume builders to actually plagiarize the design or take it on. So that was our design. We, you know, because as soon as they come in and they start making some changes, then it becomes their design, and then you sort of, and then they pull you in. So I made it quite clear that this is a design, this is what we want built, and this is, you know, so quote on this. So that's one of the volume builders certainly tried to push us down that path, and we kept pushing back. And then we just made that decision that, you know, it's going to be a lot harder, because they were going to try to pull us their way more than the other was saying, no, well, you know, we're happy to build what you've got. We'll build, you know, it's a great design. We'll do that. So yeah, that was an interesting split between the two volume builders.
I think it was really interesting to watch how you navigated it, and the fact that you were insistent on, look, this is the specification that we want, and trying to get the volume builder to come to that, and so that you could obviously compare a like for like pricing And then obviously making the call to go with the custom builder that you did from a quality point of view and navigating that from what that was going to mean for your budget. So, but yeah, like I said earlier, you did such a good job of really digging into the detail of it. Like you didn't just do it as a cursory thing and just get them to price it and then walk away. You really did try and understand exactly what it was going to mean from a cost point of view. So it was really great. And I mean, Western Australia volume building is quite different to volume building in other parts of Australia, insofar as the volume builders build a lot more homes in Western Australia than that. I think that's compared to other states where it's sort of 22 to 25% of new homes are built by volume builders. In Western Australia, I think it's around 40%. So it's they're obviously have a big kind of place in the market over there. And so I can imagine you would have been an interesting potential client for them in terms of the way you were educating yourself about the detailing that you wanted and the specification that you wanted, and then feeding that back into their costing process would have been quite interesting. Did you notice that they were, I mean, did they have an appetite to learn how to build better, or were they kind of struggling? You know, obviously they made a call at the end that they couldn't do it as a fixed price. But along the way, did you sort of see that they were cottoning onto the fact that this might actually be the future of building, or did they not sort of seem to be taking it on in that way?
I think there was an appetite too, but limitations is what will our contractors deliver us? If we ask this, they won't want to deliver it. So they don't ask it. I think there's a bit around that, and it's those systems. So I think there's a bit around that. We sort of developed it because I said it's really important. We want to have input through the build, and they were sort of engaging about that. And the owner of the business had brought on a partner, and he sort of managed mostly their commercial. And certainly with after COVID, the madness, then things went quiet. So they were transitioning into doing a lot more custom builds. That was sort of where, you know, there's still potential for them to stay busy. So they were doing a number of custom designs, and I think building that process of working to different standards. But I remember we did one other builder who's a German guy, and you know, I remember him saying, you know, we went through his house early on, and when we were selecting builders, you know, it was at that stage where it was a lot, you know, I think he builds two or three houses a year, probably a couple, and he's very particular about his building methods. And I remember him saying, and I've learned so much since then, you know, like, this is my wall system, and this is, you know, this is non-negotiable, and I now understand what was in that wall that I didn't understand then. But he had a solar passive design, he had timers to allow it to ventilate if he was at work, and all sorts of stuff. And but I remember just I bumped into him at one of the hardware places, and I just said, look, we're at this point where we're, you know, talking to builders about wall wraps and stuff like that, and I just had the conversation about the builder that we were building with, and he said, well, I'm not sure that they'll actually do that for you. And it turned out that the appetite to do that was limited, but they were very open to the partner actually taking us on and having an active role. And we went on site with him. We talked about, you know, they had a massive build going on there that, you know, the underside of the house was, you know, there's a lot of structure, just about what you'd have in a car park in a supermarket, you know, like. But it was interesting, and I think at the end he could only spread himself so thinly to have that on-site connection between, you know, the customer and the builder. So yeah, I think it was just that process of they have to push things along, and that's about where that got to, I guess.
Can I ask you, this might be a strange question, but you've obviously, you know, you've talked and peppered through this conversation about you learnt this and then had a conversation about this, you learnt this and you've had a conversation about this. You have managed to maintain across quite obviously a long duration. You know, you joined Home Method in October 2021, you bought this block of land early 2021, you spent some time in the design phase, you obviously spent some time navigating getting it costed and making decisions through that costing process about the selections that you're making. And along the way, I've watched you upskill yourself, dig into detail. How have you maintained your own motivation and energy around that and seeking out that learning on an ongoing basis from, I suppose, yeah, from a motivation and an energy point of view, from a mindset point of view? Yeah, what have you done personally? Is that just how you're geared normally, or, you know, obviously you're a busy man with a property and those kinds of things. How have you balanced that for yourself?
Yeah, look, that's where podcasts are great because you can be working and listening, and I just love absorbing information. I just got engaged in the process. I just wanted to do it well and to understand what we're actually doing. And probably, you know, without joining Undercover Architect, I definitely wouldn't have been able to dig as deeply into it. And certainly I've reached out to a number of your podcast members and, you know, that have done podcasts with you in different areas. And I just wanted to understand why and the process, and didn't want to build a home that didn't perform. I wanted longevity in the home. You know, I think there's a lot of building has a massive, you know, carbon footprint and massive amount of energy, and there's a massive amount of waste. And I know one thing at the start was, you know, we want to use as many natural materials, but buildings are very much a system thing and a process thing, and it's what's available and what people are used to. So never, you know, I remember going to the German builder. I remember going to his glazier in Denmark and just talking to him, and my wife said, "Well, you know, that's a plastic handle on your window. There's not much we can do about it. It's just some things are what they are." But I've wanted to use as much natural material, so timber and just getting to the basics. I mean, not ready yet to jump into low carbon concrete or anything. I just thought we're too late in our design stage for that sort of thing. It was interesting. I didn't think Holcim, who you've done podcasts with, I didn't even realize they were actually in Albany, so we could have actually gone down that path. But I've just stayed with a lot of the stuff has just stayed with the builders, you know, tried to work with the builders, his process and who he deals with, and then quietly, I suppose, just bring in some ideas. I'm probably digressed a bit off where the question was, but
no, that's excellent. And that's the thing, I think, you know, you've probably heard me inside Home Method saying, don't overown your responsibility in this. Don't take on the risk of trying to tell the builder things that mean that the builder can, if there's any issues with it, the builder can deflect fault to you as the homeowner. Remember that you're working with professionals who need to take responsibility for the role that they're playing and the advice that they're giving. And at the same time, you as an informed, empowered, educated homeowner can definitely be providing input and driving particular outcomes. And I think you've always created a really good balance of that with the teams that you've worked with and the team members that you've worked with, and how you've kind of gone about thinking about details. And yeah, like, you've never been frightened to pick up the phone to somebody and check an opinion or, you know, reach out for some advice on those specific things along the way as well. And then you've come back into the group and shared your learnings from that point of view. And obviously you've been sending me emails about wool insulation and looking at that as well, and being hungry for that to be an option in Australia. And yeah, it's been really great to see how you've navigated it over the whole project. It's been a really fantastic experience for me to see you as a homeowner, the way that you've navigated this.
I mean, the wool one, obviously, we've got wool insulation in our home on the farm. I'm a wool grower. I'm passionate about the fibre. It's an amazing fibre. So, you know, at the start, that's what I wanted in our walls and our roof. And then it was available in Albany. That's you know, right locally. And the more I explored and reached out to people that were you know, supplying it, suddenly it's not even available in Australia. And then, you know, I got it quoted from New Zealand, and it was $46,000, I think, the quote to insulate our home. And so that's where you step away from a lot of the volume products, freight and different things. Just, you know, staying with the process is where a lot of the dollars get burnt up. So we've ended up going with earth wall in the walls. I think we might actually end up with rock wall. I've connected really well with Andrew Wisby, who's got Hybrid Green in Perth, and he did a podcast on the Yak podcast.
The Sustainable Builders Yak, yep.
Yeah, and he was actually a wool classer. So, you know, it's interesting having those conversations and just learning why some products are better in some areas than others. But we've always wanted a healthy home, low VOCs. Yeah, it's so it's one of those, yeah, I could expand on that a long way, but that's probably another story for you. But yeah, but that's, you know, it's all those products that at the end of the day, we've got a budget and we're way beyond where we need to be, but we can work within that. But yeah, there's a limitation. So I'd love to try, you know, some other products, but sometimes, you know, just staying with fiber cement and different things as cladding and stay with what the builder works with. And, you know, that's it was an interesting conversation I had with the builder. I did ask you, how do you deal with asking, you know, questions without insulting the builder, because you're maybe asking a question that he can't answer. And then, so I just researched, you know, the James Hardie products and their installation requirements. And, you know, so I just got my facts. And then, you know, there's two options. You can put a class 4 vapor permeable membrane. You can either direct fix to the wall, or you can have an air barrier. And so I just tried to very carefully ask that question. And, you know, I remember we went and met with him that morning, and he was a bit of a grumpy fella, but by lunchtime he said, well, we can do it, you know, like, but it is that, how do you bring some of these things into the conversation, because they're trying to get to an end result and they've had processes that they've worked with for so many years that work, and they don't want to actually move too far away from it because they're responsible for your build and the quality and if there's a problem. So it's, yeah, they've got to make those decisions, but you can still have the conversation about how do you bring this in. And I just said, look, I just want the walls built to NCC 2022 standards and a climate zone 6, that is a class 4 vapor permeable membrane, because I don't want to have mold issues in the walls, you know, like, because we do want to have, we're not going to have a really tight home, but we're going to have a comfortable home that, yeah. So they're just conversations that we've had along the way.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Can I ask you, because you're obviously, you and your partner have had, you know, you've navigated this project slightly differently. You've had different roles in it. How have you found that as a couple working through this project, and where you've sort of seen your strengths and your approaches to things, you know, inform the way that you've worked together on creating this home?
I think luckily we've both been pretty similar, I suppose, expectations of what the home will bring us. So that's been really good. I've got plenty of confidence in my wife's, you know, colour selections and different things. So we have a couple of different agreements on where a fridge should be in a, you know, a kitchen. Like, because I know if it's in an area where we're going to be on top of each other, then it's better off somewhere where there's easy access. You know, it's just a couple of little things like that. But, you know, I've gone down this UA path, and I think your blueprint is, you know, you've got it. You've nailed it. And every build's different, and navigating it. And, you know, I can see that there's areas Gabriel, I think probably September last year, brought in a interior designer, and just sort of, and she identified a few things in our floor plan, you know, like, and we just swung a few things around, you know, there mightn't be enough depth in the study area if you're trying to get past. And so we just swung a few things around. But, you know, if that could have happened earlier, it might have, you know, shortcut a few designs. So that would have saved a bit of cash on our cost with the designer. But I think the most important thing is ending up with the design that you're happy with at the end. And we're very comfortable now that after the pad's gone down and that, so we're really comfortable with the layout and the way everything's coming together. We're not thinking, oh, that's too, we've messed up here. It wasn't interesting. Walked on site and I thought, you know, we've got 2400 door heights, and we went in there and I looked and I thought, that looks low. Got the tape measure out and they were 2100, and we just sent an email to the builder on Monday morning. We waited till Monday morning and then nothing, and then phone call on, that was an email back on Tuesday just saying the boys are a bit embarrassed, they'll rectify it in their own time. You know, it's just, they just got into the flow of building and just did the normal process, and just, you know, they didn't go back and read the plans, but there was no issues, you know, so that's off track. But that's the more you can bring forward, you talk about your selections and bringing them forward. We sort of, I said to Gabriel, you know, like, we really need to work out if we do go with a volume builder, then we need to know what we're putting in there, because we need to have price points for all of these, because we need to get that built in. So, you know, but that's been interesting to watch, because you really don't know what you want to select until you get to the end anyway, because that can change. There'll be new products or some are deleted and all these sorts of things, but the basics of everything have stayed very similar. So I think it's just knowing your price points, and everyone gets carried away. They see something and then they want it, and suddenly, wow, that's 30% more than my budget. So I think we're pretty well covered in all those areas. Yeah.
You are under construction at the moment. I'm looking forward to getting you back on for another chat about the construction phase, because I know that you'll have a lot of learnings to share from that. But before we wrap up, is there anything that you'd like to share in terms of, I suppose, tips or information for the listeners about that whole process that you've gone through to get up to where, you know, starting on site and thinking about creating the right home, or even, I suppose, what you're most excited about in being in this finished home? I can't wait for you to be in this finished home. I think the design's really fantastic, and I think you've done such a great job of navigating the process so far. So yeah, did you have anything to share before we finish up?
I suppose just going right back to start a design. I mean, we're happy with our design. I think he's given us a fantastic outcome. Probably in that early stages, maybe we would have said, now give us two designs. We'll go down, you know, we might have had a longer, you know, a different design that, you know, with a pavilion style, we've got a larger wall area and costs go up and that sort of thing. You know, it would have been good to maybe just explore a different design and just seeing if that were it, see where it went. We're certainly happy with our design, but I think, yeah, just keep an open mind early on, because I know there's sort of actually getting attached to a design. I remember when we got to the point of getting to financing, and we took our design, talking to our farm consultant, talking about getting finance, he said, why does that cost so much? I can't understand it. I built a home 7 years ago with a volume builder, and it's got all this glazing and stuff, and it was, you know, $400,000. Why is it significantly more than that? And I think, yeah, you just got to look at the value of your block. You know, we've sort of gone through all of that and worked out, yes, we can, you know, we can still justify the build. It's, you know, it is our forever home. So that's really been important, and that's probably one of the things that I've wanted to put a lot of energies into, it because it's the only chance I'll get to do it. And then, yeah, just bringing on board, I think just seek out the people that fit, you know, that you can relate to and will give you the results that you want. I think we're extremely lucky that I think Albany's 40,000 people, and, you know, it's got a greater population of another 20,000 around it. So I think we knew a lot of people that knew a lot of these professionals, so we were able to get an insight into, you know, what they were like, go through homes that they'd worked in, talk to people. I mean, great to have that understanding, but if you don't have that, I think you just got to seek out, do you connect with those people? Are they going to give you what you need and what you want out of your build? If not, just move on. Just, as you say, look for the red flags, and if they're there, just... And time, I remember the builder saying with our design early on, you know, I was thinking, okay, this is great, let's keep moving. And he said, you know, sometimes it's good just to stick it in the bottom drawer. And it is, it's amazing. You know, your thought processes are completely different over time. And if you rush the process, you'll probably make mistakes. So, but we don't all have time, and it turned out that we've had time, and it's working out. So yeah, that's about it.
How do you think Home Method has helped you through this process? Because you've obviously, as a member, you've navigated it in a different way in terms of you being willing to ask these questions and make these phone calls and, you know, explore these different avenues and that kind of stuff. How have you found that Home Method's helped you through this process overall?
Look, you've got a very unique resource. So in every area it's helped. Yeah, I think there's a lot of value in just that trust that what what you're hearing is actually what it is. It's not just, you know, there's a lot of greenwashing and a lot of promotion and stuff. It's seeing through all of that. It's just looking at the facts and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of value in that, and your resources are just amazing. Whether it's interesting, you know, a lot of things we've just done through trust and knowing. And I remember, you know, it took a long time to get finance, because being a farmer, you don't have a, you know, your income varies significantly. And you know, we'd worked with our bank that, you know, they'd never ever done finance for a custom build, and the conversation went from June till December pretty much. But, you know, we decided to go with our custom builder in October. We basically said to him, we still didn't have our finance, but we knew we were going to get financed. And we knew that if we didn't get on and start to put all the ducks in a row, we wanted to try to get a pad down either before Christmas or immediately after Christmas and utilise that summer, you know, the dry summer period for getting all of that work out of the way. In some places, you just got to have trust, but you've got to know the person and know their background. And we know that he's, you know, I remember him saying to us, I'm going to retire in 6 or 7 years. He said, the last thing I want to do is to be called up when I'm retired to say, come and fix this. So, you know, that means something to us. So, yeah, it's just finding that side. So whether that's answered the question, but I think, yeah, the resources are amazing.
Thank you, Michael. I've always loved your questions for our home ethic Q&As. You've always got really great questions that I know offer a lot of value to other members as well. So that collective learning journey is definitely one of the things I'm in the community inside Home Method is just fantastic. So you've always been a really great member. So I'm looking forward to getting you back on to chat about the construction process. Super excited about that. And it's really great to be seeing your home coming to fruition. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your information so generously. I know that this is going to be super helpful information for those who are thinking about building as well. Yeah, so can't say thank you enough. Really appreciate you being here.
No, I appreciate the opportunity and quite happy to participate. Hopefully there's some value.
Awesome. Thanks.
And that's it for part two and my conversation with Michael. There were loads of gems in that conversation, and I hope, if anything, it's helped you be less nervous about getting second opinions, about speaking to people about the detail of your project, about definitely getting yourself informed and getting the right team around you who are open to these kinds of discussions and also support you wanting to know and understand the nuts and bolts of your project. Now, Michael didn't use the PAC process, as you heard, but was still super proactive in seeking costing information through the design phase. So I also hope that you've seen how valuable it is to really dive into the detail of your project, your selections, your energy efficiency, and how all of that is coming together in your future home before you are resolving your final contract with your selected builder. It was really great to hear Michael share just how much he pushed to ensure that the costing information he was receiving was informed on actual selections, so he wasn't making a choice about who to work with based on a bunch of assumptions. Assumptions in costing can cause a huge amount of disappointment when you discover that those assumptions are not what you wanted to include or use in your home, but you're already committed to a contract and then you're subjected to budget blowouts. So it's so much better to find out this information up front and to do the work to be able to do that. Now, of course, the PAC process does enable you to get this type of information during pre-construction as you work with your selected designer or architect and your chosen builder in a collaborative team. But even if you're not doing the PAC process, as you've heard, there are still ways to ensure that you can access the knowledge and data that you need for your project before you start building. I really do hope from the conversation that you've heard with Michael now that you can see how beneficial it is to not wait until you're tendering your project to find out what it will really cost to build or renovate. Now, if you don't know what the PAC process is, the PAC process is when you bring a builder on board of your design team during pre-construction and you pay them as a consultant to collaborate with your designer or architect, and the builder provides input on cost and buildability as the design develops. Now, episodes 201 to 205 on the podcast, they're going to give you more information about how the PAC process works, so you can check those out, and I'll put the links in the resources for this episode as well. And then inside Home Method, I've got specific and special training inside there for members to understand exactly how to use the PAC process on their project. Now, remember, if you'd like to grab a full transcript of this episode, you can find that at undercoverarchitect.com/324. That's the numbers 324. And if you'd like to join homeowners like Michael and get the support and guidance that you need to get it right in your home design and be confident as you navigate your project whilst enjoying the experience and staying true to your goals and your vision, then Home Method is definitely where you need to be. Become part of a vibrant online community that shares your aspirations, benefit from mine and other professionals' expertise through step-by-step guidance, actionable insights, and personal support. With a structured approach, Home Method empowers you to expertly navigate your project. With easy-to-follow phases, comprehensive videos, templates, and checklists, you'll gain the skills and confidence to bring your ideal home to life, whoever you're working with, and whatever your dreams, your location, or your budget. Head to the Undercover Architect website. You'll find Home Method there on the menu. You can also find it in the links for this episode as well. As always, thank you for tuning in and for letting me be your secret ally. Until next time, bye.
Just a reminder, all content on this podcast is provided by Undercover Architect for reference purposes and as general guidance. It does not take into account specific circumstances and should not be relied on in that way. You should seek independent verification or advice before relying on this content in any circumstances, including but not limited to circumstances where loss and damage may result. The views and opinions of any guests on the podcast are solely their own and may not reflect the views of Undercover Architect. Undercover Architect endeavours to publish content that is accurate at the time it is published, published, but does not accept responsibility for content that may or has become inaccurate over time.